In the name of Jesus, amen. The word of God for this morning is the first three verses of this reading from the third chapter of Lamentations, which I'd like to read again. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my Lord. Therefore, I will hope in him. The book of Lamentations is comprised of five funeral songs, which correspond to the five chapters of the book. The first four chapters are acrostics, where the words at the beginning of each verse correspond in order to the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. With this text, in the third song, we have somewhat of a unique situation in that there are three verses for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And by the time we come to the text which I read to you, we have come to that German letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the letter Ches. It is represented in the text by the words Chesed, the steadfast love of the Lord, by the word Chadash, the word for new, and the word Chelek, which is portion or inheritance. Well, that does it. With many other commentators, we could say, we're all through. We've psyched out this passage and we've psyched out this book, and now it's time for the book of Ezekiel. But I don't think so. Apart from the fact that I may have cleared out my sinuses, how about some theology to this? And there is a ton of theology, of course, in these words. These words which reflect the Holy Spirit's own artistry. To our modern ears, the book of Lamentations has to sound rather strange, and I think you'll see what I mean. Whose funeral is Jeremiah singing about? The funeral of the people of God. The Babylonians have come. Jerusalem has been destroyed. The leaders of the people have been carried off to Babylon by the carload. The temple is a charred ruins. And the Ark of the Covenant, well, it was probably melted down for the gold. As a matter of fact, there might be some of that gold in my wristwatch. But on second thought, maybe your wristwatch, but not mine. In view of all this, Jeremiah, in vivid detail, throughout the whole book, repeatedly, and yes, even monotonously, rehearses the plight of God's people. And by the time you're done reading the book, you're sick of hearing about it. And if that weren't bad enough, Jeremiah compares their present sorry state with how great things used to be in the past, so that their present plight stands out in bold relief. And so he says, how lonely is the city that once was filled with people. Or he says, Zion, which used to be called the perfection of beauty, is now a laughingstock. All right, Jeremiah, all right, we get the idea. You have earned for yourself the title of the prophet of doom. But now, and here's the weird part to the whole thing, in the midst of all of this uncontrolled sobbing over the people's sorry state, hardly ever does Jeremiah issue a specific cry for God's help. But the closest he comes is at the very end of the book, where he in effect says, "Restore us, O Lord, unless, of course, you have already thrown us into the dumper for good." Now, you would think, after going through all these sorry details, that Jeremiah would say, and say repeatedly, "Lord, get us out of this mess." But no. If anything, he calls upon the people to further chastise themselves. After all, they are confessing their sins, not merely bemoaning the punishment for their sins. And how important it is to see the difference between the two, for pastors and for parents alike. Well then, what exactly is Jeremiah doing? Well, he paints this pathetic picture of the people of God. And then time and again, he says to the Lord, Lord, you see all this? Lord, I want you to behold all this. I want you to take a real good look at all of this. And then Jeremiah just sits back and waits. This seems kind of silly. You would think that everything was completely out of the hands of Jeremiah and his people. It's like there's nothing left for Jeremiah or the people to do. This is getting kind of silly, but Jeremiah's just waiting. Oh, wait a minute. Well, no, you've already done that. I know what Jeremiah's doing, or better still, I know what he's not doing. He knows. Jeremiah knows. He knows the kind of God that he's dealing with. And Jeremiah knows that the only rescue for the people of God lies in the very nature of God himself. That's their only rescue. It's only a matter of time, but Jeremiah knows what's going to happen. And he can see it all happening. He can see it all now. The Lord is going to see all of this suffering. And then he's going to say, "I can't take this anymore." And then the time will come where he'll say, "Enough of this opus alienum. Enough of this alien work business." Or as Jeremiah says, "He does not willingly grieve the sons of men." Jeremiah knows that the Lord's true colors are going to come through. He knows that the Lord cannot deny himself, and that the time is coming when untold joy and enthusiasm, God is going to return to his opus proprium. He is going to do the thing that he likes doing best of all, restoring and forgiving his people. In the meantime, Jeremiah can sit back and say, "It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." In the text, Jeremiah reminds the Lord of this unchanging, gracious nature of his. Well, actually, God doesn't need any reminding, but he is reminding the people, and he is reminding them in words that take us all the way back to Mount Sinai, when the Lord forgave the people the sin of the golden calf. The chesed of God. God is lovingly devoted to his people. The tender mercy of God. That's the way he is. So gentle, so caring. And both of these words, by the way, are in the plural. We're not talking about some kind of mere sentimentality. This is action. His individual acts of devotion, his acts of mercy. Acts of devotion and acts of mercy which occur, which happen, not something which is just merely felt. And they happen as surely and as often as the sun rises in the east. His faithfulness, a solid rock that can always be counted on. The Lord is their only portion or inheritance, since the portion and inheritance of the land which they used to have is no more. These devotions, these mercies, all became incarnate in God's only Son. And if I may use Jeremiah's own words in Lamentations to describe the work of God's only Son. He put his mouth in the dust. He sat alone in silence. He gave his cheek to the smiter. He was the target of insults, and it was all for our sakes. Or if I may again use Jeremiah's own words from this book. We can hear Christ himself talking in Jeremiah's words. Is it nothing to you all who pass by? Look and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which was brought upon me, which the Lord inflicted on the day of his fierce anger. Remember my affliction, the wormwood and the gall. And then know his brand new mercy, which comes every morning, starting with that first Easter morning, and say with Jeremiah, "Great is thy faithfulness." Amen.